I'll be reading from Psalm chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 15, 1 through 5. A Psalm of David. O Yahweh, who can stay in your sanctuary? Who is allowed to dwell on your holy mountain? Only a person who is honest and who does what is right. He must speak the truth in his heart. He must not tell lies about others. He must do no wrong to his friends. He must not gossip against his neighbors. He must despise vile people. He must honor those who revere Yahweh. He must keep his vows, no matter what cost. He does not switch it. He must not charge interest on the money he lends to a poor Hebrew brother. He must not take a bribe to hurt innocent people. Whoever does all these things will never be shaken.
I hope you all had a wonderful day so far, and we're looking forward to another great week in the Lord. And I thought that this lesson tonight in looking at this psalm would be a really great reflection over many things that we've already been talking about in our prior lessons. This is really summing up quite a few things that we've already mentioned, with many different examples we've looked at, with the miracles of Christ, with different examples maybe you think of like Paul, like we talked about this morning. Some of these psalms do really good at just summing up some good points for us to see. And I thought that we might take a general lesson tonight and just take a topical lesson tonight and just kind of look at it maybe in that way. Maybe look at some other scriptures that we can see, write those things down, and have those for future reference, of course. So sometimes we do different lessons like that, of course, just to change it up a little bit. But we're talking about really the difference between really the person who is a dweller with God and the person who is a non-dweller with God. Of course, those who would be dwellers with God would be the righteous, and those who would not be dwelling with God would be the wicked. So who can dwell with God, though? Who can dwell in God's holy place? That's really the first verse you see there, as Brother Thomas read a moment ago. Psalm 15 and verse 1, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill? So this is a Psalm of David. Keep that in mind. Just for your background, as you see there, as it says Psalm of David right there, that's actually original text. So that's original Hebrew text right there for you. That means that this is David's psalm, King David. Now he's actually asking this question, Lord, who may dwell on your holy hill? He's really asking who's worthy to go to heaven in all its glory. And of course, he's asking the question, and then in the next verses we're going to see the answers. There's multiple different answers. You got to be righteous. We're going to talk about all those things. But verse 1, he asked that question. So it's differentiating, you see, between the behavior of a child of God contrary to a sinning person of the world. You can't be both at the same time. You think about texts like Luke 16:13. You think about texts like 1 Corinthians 10:21. You can mark those down, but those tell you, of course, that you can't have both at the same time. You can't love God and money at the same time. You can't be a part of righteousness and sin both at the same time. You choose one or the other. That's just how it is. You can't be light and dark at the same time. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness. So who can dwell with God? Of course, those in the light. So we're going to look at this inspired psalm now. Verse 1 there, as we've looked at, brings up really two different topical points that we can look at. Really just from looking at this right here, it brings up two topical points. That is, the righteous will get rewarded. And this is the most general way you can put a lesson like this. The righteous will get rewarded and the wicked will get punished. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is where you're going to get a lot of those wicked get punishment ideas, righteous get reward ideas. Matthew chapter 7 is great for that. Great for that. But we're going to read verse 23. Matthew 7 and verse 23. Of course, using verse 14 as a reference. Matthew 7 and verse 14 says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Of course, now, those people who find that way of life are those who build their house on a solid foundation. Now look in verse 23 of that same chapter. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Continue there in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that is, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now hold it right there for just a second. We'll read those next bits in just a moment. But those who are dwellers with God, and what we mean by that is spiritual dwellers of God, those who will be in eternity with God, as we talked about this morning, as Paul was focused on. Remember, forgetting all those things in the past, pressing on to the goal in the future. We talked about those things with Paul. He's a good example for us. He built his house on the rock. Paul did that. Many, all those other apostles who left everything to follow Christ, they did that. Peter and the others. They left all that, built their house on the rock, and of course, they are dwellers with God even today. They're in paradise as we know it, if they live faithful lives. So, of course, the righteous, they do get their reward because they built their house, their spiritual house, on that solid foundation, the rock, which is who? Christ, which is Jesus. Jesus the Messiah. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're going to turn to next. So, of course, keeping your marker there still in Psalms. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 9. Once again, this is a more topical lesson, so we're going to be flipping just a little bit across the Scriptures. But 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 reads there, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me," verse 10, "as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." Verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is," here it is, "Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day," that is the judgment day, "will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward." So once again, holding that scripture, because we're going to come back to that one as well. But as God's child, the point is that you will be rewarded. So who is worthy to dwell in God's holy place? Who's worthy to dwell in God's tabernacle? You remember all those sayings in Revelation? I've been wanting to do a study on Revelation for a while now. I think we should. But all those sayings in Revelation and talking about the temple of God and being, you know, in the most holy place. You know, who's worthy to open the scroll? All those different types of languages. Well, of course, who's worthy to be in the presence of God at all? Who's worthy to be in heaven at all with Him? Surrounded by His light, surrounded by the holy angels, who's worthy to go past those pearly gates? Well, of course, that would be the children of God, those who choose righteousness. So, of course, the contrary would be the wicked. The wicked would get that punishment. And we talked about the differentiations between the torment side and the paradise side this morning. We talked about the Hadean realm in our class. We talked about heaven and hell. We talked about all those different places, and of course, that's where we'll be going after this life. Of course, if the judgment doesn't hit us then, the judgment day, that is, the official judgment day, we'll be going to one of those two places, paradise or torment. So, which one will we be going to? Well, that's according to what our final sentence is on the judgment day. We talked about those things as well, but the wicked will get punished. Now, Matthew chapter 7, I'll ask you to turn there just while I'm talking. Matthew 7 and verse 26. Is where we were just at, and we were talking about the wise man building his house on the rock. And we know this, we teach it to our kids. The foolish man, what did he build his house on? The sand, that's right. He built his house on the sand. He knows it. Verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Why did it fall? Because it didn't have Jesus as the rock. That is the spiritual rock. They didn't have anything to stand on. Spiritually, they were dead. Spiritually, they couldn't live on. They couldn't continue on to the afterlife, to heaven. So, of course, that's really what the parable's about. And build his house on the sand, and he's paying for it here. Now, the wicked, of course, that's talking about them. It's not talking about the righteous. As a sinner against God, you'll be rewarded with fire. That's actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you go back to that same text that we were just at. So flip back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's neat language here that you see. But 1 Corinthians 3, 15 says you'll really be rewarded with fire here. "If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So we just read there verse 14, talking about the rock really being with, after that, getting the reward because of it. And now, those who are not having that reward, they're having the reward of fire. And then it talks about us being the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. If we defile the temple, God will destroy us in verse 17, because the temple of God is holy. So, who's worthy to dwell with God? Who's worthy to be in heaven with God? Who's worthy to be in the most holy place? Of course, only those who are children of God. Only those who are not wicked. Only those who are righteous. And we know that, Christians. That's no secret to us. It's just good to have refresher lessons like this. Good topical lessons that we can look at. Now let's turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. And then we're going to head back to Psalms. Revelation chapter 20. We're going to read verse 11 first. Revelation 20 verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. Now this is the judgment day here. And another book was opened, which is, here it is, the book of life. We talked about that this morning. The dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Yes, that's the literal ocean. The death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. They were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, verse 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we asked the question also this morning, is your name written in the book of life? That is a dweller of God, one whose name is written in that book. You can think about it figuratively, whatever, but if you're going to heaven, you are a dweller with God, that is. You are written in the book of life. So you can be confident. You can hold steadfast in your life and in your confidence in Christ. You have that reward of heaven awaiting you. Now, the contrary for the wicked is that the punishment is awaiting. That they've built their house, of course, on the sand. That they will be destroyed in the end. Their house will be washed away. They will be suffering for eternity. We definitely don't want that for any of us or our loved ones. Now, let's continue on in Psalm. Go back to Psalm, flip back there, back in Psalm 15. We're going to read verse 2. He who walks uprightly, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. So here we go. Who may dwell in your holy hill? Here it is. Here's the qualifications, you might call it. He who walks uprightly, works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart. So really you might be able to combine those first two points, walks uprightly and righteousness. It's really just talking about you're upholding the laws and the teachings of Christ. You're living that day to day, from morning to night. You're living Christ. You're living like Christ. You know how a lot of people say you're being like Christ. That's really good language to use. You are Christ-like. You are Christ-like, or you are godly. Those two words really can be used interchangeably, godly or Christ-like. If you are like that, you are different. You are upholding the laws of God. You're upholding the laws of Christ. You are worthy to bear that name because of the life that you choose to live. That is a dweller of God. That is one who will be dwelling with God in the end. So, you seek good. You don't, of course, seek evil. You seek to do good in your life. Let's turn to Amos. We have an Amos in here tonight. Amos chapter 5. We have a great prophet in here tonight. Amos chapter 5. And verse 14 is where we're going to read. But you're seeking to do good and not evil. Amos 5:14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. Verse 15. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. So this is what God's people are doing. They're seeking good. Everywhere they go, everywhere they're having their being, they're making their choices, they're always trying to do the best for God. They're always trying to put God first, prioritize, what would Jesus do? What would Christ do? A lot of Christians say that question. That's a great thing. How often do we actually live like Christ, though? We might say that question, but then not have any action really following it. Ask that question, be Christ-like in your life, show it with both word and deed, word and action. That's how we as Christians are to live. In Christ, with both word and action to prove it. Both faith and works. It's really all about, and of course that reflects our heart too. It's what it said there in verse 2 of Psalm 15. So you're seeking good and not evil. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew again, 7. Matthew 7 and verse 15. We'll come back to the great prophet Amos a little bit later. Matthew 7 and verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So how do you know whether somebody's a true worshiper of God? How does God know if you're a true worshiper of God? Well, God looks at your heart. He looks at your life. Are you consistently doing evil, or are you consistently trying to do good? What is the true intention of your heart? Only God knows that. Sometimes we as men and women don't know that about people. Sometimes we can look at a person, and it just looks like they're the most, top-notch kind of citizen you can ever think of, you can ever look at. Paul was like that, wasn't he? He was a sinner. You realize that? Paul was like that, but he was killing Christians, and everyone was thinking he was right doing it, but he was wrong doing it. So we can have wolves in sheep's clothing. We can have people who think they're right, people who may look like it in appearance, like an angel of light, as it says. Satan can appear as an angel of light. But really, inwardly people can be ravenous wolves. So we need to be careful with that. But are we a true worshiper of God? That's what will qualify us to be dwellers with God after this life. Are we a true worshiper of God? Are we sincere? Are we worshiping in spirit and in truth? Is our religion, really our Christianity, is it done with the heart and by the law at the same time? Or is it really just by the law and without the heart? Or maybe the other way around. So all these things, consider all these things as we're talking about being dwellers with God. What someone sees from you is what's inside. You're genuine as a Christian. That's, of course, if you're a dweller with God. You should always be showing what's in the inside, too. Now, I don't mean like wearing everything on your sleeve, like insulting people whenever you think it in your mind or anything like that. I just mean whenever you say something, whenever you're saying you're a Christian, do you act like a Christian? Do you act like it in your everyday life? When you say to your coworkers, I go to the Church of Christ, but then you participate in dirty jokes with them, you participate in cussing with them, you do all this nonsense, how does that follow up? You see, it doesn't follow up. The word and deed thing, it's not working out there. So you need to have both working together. Dwellers with God do these things. What someone sees from you on the outside, they should know that's on the inside too. They shouldn't be confused about it. It should be both the same there. We should be pure inside and outside in our showing too. Now Psalm 15:3. Let's go back. Psalm 15:3. We looked at three things there, but Psalm 15:3 now. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friends. So some more things we can look at there. Some does nots now for those who might dwell in the holy hill of God. So you're not biting back with your tongue. That's a pretty simple one to understand. And all of us in here are guilty with that, aren't we? Biting back with your tongue. How many times has somebody said something against us and we bite back? Maybe we did that when we were younger, a lot of times. Maybe we don't do it as much now. Hopefully not. But maybe we're still doing it sometimes today. We know better. We know better than to repay an evil for an evil, to shout back at them, to have a red face back right at, well, I'm going to show them what for. You know better than that as a Christian. But sometimes we just do it. Sometimes we end up being guilty of that thing too. But a dweller with God doesn't do those things. They live up to the higher standard. They'd be like Christ. They rather just say nothing. They rather leave the situation if they need to so they don't sin. They leave a situation, they do whatever they need to keep themselves pure and clean. And the temple of God undefiled. That is you, Christians, the temple of God. Keep it undefiled so that God will not destroy you on that judgment day. Remember that verse? Let's go to Romans. So keep your marker there and go to Romans. Romans 16. Another thing that we can look at concerning these things. Romans 16. Some more good references. 16:17 through 18. Now I urge you, brethren, verse 17, Note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Verse 18. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. So, you have those who are causing problems in the church. We've got that going on today in other congregations. We can have it happen in our own congregation someday. But it might have happened in the past. I may not know about it. But it happens all the time in congregations of the Lord's church today. People who are maybe biting back with their tongue. They're doing evil to their neighbor, as Psalm 15:3 says. They're taking up reproaches against their friends. They're doing all these different sorts of things. And they're sowing discord among the brethren. You remember there in Proverbs how it's one of the things the Lord hates? Sowing discord among the brethren. A lot of brethren forget that. A lot of brethren forget that. That's not something that changed. God wants us to be unified. Jesus, even in praying for the believers, He prayed that we might be unified as Him and the Father are. As Him and the Father are. So, being a dweller with God means we're unified. It means that we're not causing problems between us and our friends, not causing problems in the world. We're striving to live peaceable always. You know that word peacemaker? That's a word that Jesus uses. That's a word that Jesus tries to teach His followers, to be peacemakers. Not be causing problems, not be trying to sow strife in the brotherhood, not be trying to plot against your brothers, not be having these trivial disputes or whatever, but be peacemakers. Be more mature. Be higher than that. Have higher thinking. Be like God. Be like Christ. That's what Jesus has always been trying to take us to with the New Testament Scriptures. Let's start living like that. Matthew 5, let's turn there. We have some more New Testament verses. Matthew 5 and verse 9. Real small verse here. Matthew 5, 9. I'll just read it real quick. Blessed are the peacemakers, there it is, for they shall be called sons of God. That's in that Beatitudes list. We went over that in our Beatitudes lesson not long ago. But blessed are the peacemakers. Let's turn to Hebrews now. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Not causing problems, not sowing strife, but always trying to bring people together, trying to bring brethren together. Here it is, verse 14, chapter 12 of Hebrews. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. So pursue holiness with all people too, without which no one will see the Lord. Do you notice what it just said there? And also, if you continue through that, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, by this many become defiled, lest there be a fornicator, a profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Verse 17, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So, pursuing peace, pursuing holiness, bringing brethren together, looking carefully out for your brethren, watching out for them, taking care of each other. How often do we do that? How often do we, as dwellers with God, take care of each other? How often do we not sow discord among the brethren? Or are we sowing discord more often than we should? Well, we never should be doing that. But are we doing that today? Have we done that in the past? Did we do that last week? Did we sow problems in the church? Did we sow problems with a sister or with a brother or whoever it may be? Well, that's of course up to the person. Just a challenge for us tonight, just some things to think about. But let's go back to Psalm now. So keep those things as maybe a reference or a bookmark or these different references you can look at. Let's go back to Psalm. We're going to read verse 4. Psalm 15 and verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. So, who can be a dweller with God? Here it is again. In whose eyes a vile person is despised. Now, one thing that I need to make sure that we all understand is that we need to hate evil. We need to absolutely hate evil and think it's disgusting. If you see evil and you're not disgusted by it, you think there's a problem? If you see fornication or if you see homosexuality on the TV and you don't think there's a problem with your heart. There's a problem with your heart. There's a problem with something inward with you, Christian. And I'm not saying that as a personal, insult against you. That's not what I'm here trying to do today. It's not what I'm doing as a preacher. But there's a problem with the heart, because we should always be despising evil. We should be despising wickedness as people who are righteous. Does God do the same thing? Yes. He punishes for the same thing. He punishes for people being wicked. He hates evil. He doesn't hate the soul that He created. He hates the evil that the soul is choosing to corrupt itself with. And we should also hate that evil as well. That's what it means to hate evil. To hate the evil that that soul is choosing to do. We can't be a part of that. We can't even look at it sometimes without being disgusted. Absolutely just blown away by what we're seeing today. Because today it's insane what we're seeing. It's absolutely insane. You see people all over the internet, social media. I mean, the most disgusting things you can look at. I mean, you never see anything like it. You never thought history would see anything like it. But you see that today. And whenever we see that, we despise it as righteous people. As those who are dwellers with God, we hate that. We think it's disgusting, and we should. We have every right to. So, of course, the respect of God itself, here's another note. Proverbs chapter 8, let's turn there. Proverbs 8, the respect of God itself is even the hatred of evil. And that's a really neat point that you can write down. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. But the respect of God itself is the hatred of evil. The respect of God itself is the hatred of evil. Now here's the verse. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord, that is the respect of the Lord, is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So, of course, the Proverbs writer here talking about respect of God even in itself being the hatred of evil. So if you love God, you can't be loving evil at the same time. There shows, once again, you see the parallels between the Old and New Testaments and talking about these things. You can't serve God and mammon. You heard phrases like that from the New Testament. But to be a dweller with God does not mean you're a dweller also with wicked things. To live God's way is to hate the evil way. Now, if we look back at Amos, let's go back to Amos. We have an Amos here. He's looking at me. Caught his attention there. You got some great things to say in that book you got, Amos. Amos chapter 5 and verse 15. Amos 5 and verse 15. All right, let's see what he has to say. Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. So we just read that, but it says the same thing we're talking about. Hate evil, love good. Amos is preaching this to his recipients, of course, as well, as we would have that in the New Testament, as the Proverbs writer would be preaching to his recipients. But we need to hate evil. We need to despise it, as Lot was despising those wicked people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember there in 1 Peter chapter 2? Of course, that was 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse... No, that wasn't 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm getting confused here. Where was that at? I'm trying to remember. 2 Peter, that's it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. That's where it's at. It talks about Noah. It talks about the wicked people of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot's soul being tormented daily. You remember that? Tormented daily by the things he was seeing and hearing, by all that wickedness that was around him. He hated that evil. He despised it. And by that even, he's respecting God. He's respecting righteousness. He's showing that he himself is a righteous person even by hating that evil. Are we doing that also? Whenever we look at the TV and at those wicked things, are we hating that stuff? Or are we maybe taking part in those things? Are we taking part in those things by condoning those things? Whenever we see something nasty on the channel, do we flip it? Or do we maybe look longer than we should? Do we flip it or look longer than we should? I mean, that's a question we all need to ask ourselves, a problem that we might have in our own life. But we need to make sure that we're hating that evil, getting away from that evil, so that it might not pervert us too, keep ourselves clean. Stand strong in Christ, Christians. Be a dweller with God as you should be. Now, Christians are to hate evil today just as they were back in the Old Testament. We read there in Amos. Let's read Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 9. A few more things we'll be finished here. Romans 12 and verse 9. And then we'll let Amos get up here and start preaching. Ready to preach? Romans 12, 9. All right. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. So there you have it. Even in the New Testament, you have many different phrases like it. There's one of them. Abhor what is evil. Think it's absolutely disgusting and cling to what is good. So, Christians, are we doing that? Are we hating evil? Are we being peacemakers? Are we being righteous as we should be in both our hearts and in the outward too? Are we showing that to people just as we are in the inside? Or are we fakes? Are we fakes who are really just doing it on the outward and we're showing up to church services? We're filling a pew every chance we can, but then in the inward, and whenever nobody's looking, something bad's going on. Well, that's a question to all of us once again personally. So challenges to us tonight. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 17. That's the one we were talking about earlier. 1 Peter 2, 17. Honor all people. Here's this verse that you might hear a lot. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So love the brotherhood there. Honor all people. Make sure, Christians, that the dweller of God, we are those who are honoring our brethren. We are those who are taking care of our brethren. We are loving our brethren. We're honoring them just as they're honoring us. We're respecting each other. We're respecting each other in every way that we can. We're all on that same path to get to heaven. We're all in the same fight. Now let's turn to Romans. Romans 12. You might say, quit going everywhere. Well, we got to do this. We've got to get enough verses. Romans 12, 10 through 16. We're almost finished. Romans 12, 10 through 16. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor. Romans 12, 10. Now 11. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So, are we doing this, Christians? Are we honoring our brethren? If we continue through there, verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Once again, being a peacemaker. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Christians, are you remembering that the vengeance is God's? Are you remembering that it's not yours, but it's God's today, and it's God's tomorrow, and it was God's yesterday? It's always God's vengeance. Right now, we're on this earth to save people. Now, they may be absolutely more wicked than we can stand, and it's right to hate that wickedness. But you got to understand, Christians, that those people still have souls. And we still have to reach out to them if we can. Now, sometimes we can't convert them, and that's just their choice. There's sometimes we can do nothing about it. Whether it's a family member, whether it's a grandparent, whoever it is, whether it's a child, whoever it is, sometimes there's nothing we can do. That's their own choice, Christians. But, of course, repay no one evil for evil. Remember that vengeance is the Lord's. Don't be plotting against one another. If a brother does you wrong, maybe there's some kind of situation going on between you and another brother or sister, and maybe it's some kind of weird tension or something. And, of course, don't be plotting against one another. Don't be trying to cause problems. Let God deal with anything that may be going on. Let God deal with that. Be the higher person. Now, evil torments your soul to even be around, of course, as a dweller of God. You hate it. It's disgusting and vile. So all these things we're talking about as those who are dwellers of God. So keep all those things in mind. Last thing here. Last thing. Back in Psalm, we're going to read the last verse. Psalm 15 and verse 5. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. So that last phrase there we'll save in a moment. But really talking about things of being honorable in your actions. So being honorable in how you use your money. Being honorable in how you maybe are giving to people. Maybe how you're handling your money, how you're maybe charging interest to a brother. Really, these were things that were applying to things of the old law, but also it applies to us in the new law, because if we're mishandling our money, if we're being wrongful with our money, if we're being greedy, if we're trying to be maybe grudging towards a brother who's in need, we also have those things as Christians. We need to take care of each other as well. So be honest with your money. Give more than you receive. We know those teachings of Christ. Give more than you receive. Have pity on the needy. Help the needy. You know those texts, Christians? Don't take advantage of the innocent and the poor. So Proverbs 22:16. I'll just go ahead and read that for you real quick. Here's some verses to relate to that. But Proverbs 22:16, of course you have Acts 20:35, but we won't turn there. 20:35, but Proverbs 22:16 now. Proverbs 22:16 says, "He who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty." Now go to verse 22. "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them." So, of course, using your money in a good way, not perverting your money by using it wrongfully against those who are needy, by, you know, just being greedy, being a terrible person like that. I mean, that really is terrible to do that. But being honorable in how you possess your money, how you possess your possessions, how you possess your vessel. How you possess your vessel, and that is your body. So be honorable even in that. Last verse is 1 Thessalonians 4, and then we're finished. 1 Thessalonians 4. Of course, keeping in mind that last phrase of Psalm 15. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 4. It says there that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. And of course, there in verse 3 before that it says, "For this is the will of God." So knowing how to possess your own vessel. Do you know how to do that today, Christian? Do you know how to do that? Or are you, of course, maybe forsaking, really maintaining your own vessel, spiritually maintaining your own vessel in a proper way? "He who does these things that we just read about shall never be moved, because you're built on the solid rock, you're built on the solid foundation of Christ. But if you're not built on that, you're not a dweller with God. You're not one who will be with God in the afterlife." So are you that today? Are you written in the book of life? All these questions, of course, are personal to us, friends. We need to ask these things to our own hearts. So to be a dweller of God is to be a practicer of law, of the law of God, and of course, not lawlessness. To be a practicer of righteousness. So this psalm helps us to see the difference between someone of the world and someone who is righteous. The lesson is yours tonight, Christians. If you have any needs at all, please do make them known and let us help you tonight. If you need prayers for yourself or prayers for a family member, prayers for a loved one at all, in any way at all, please let us help you, maybe spiritually, physically, mentally, whatever it may be. Let us help you with struggles. Let us take care of you just as we're supposed to take care of each other. If you have any need at all, Christians, please do come to the front as we stand and praise God together.